Salon Montage is the Twin Cities' premier salon and spa destination and proud official hair sponsor of the Minnesota Vikings cheerleaders. With three convenient locations in Edina, Woodbury, and Chanhassen, there is a salon close to you. Visit online at salon.com.
Hey, what's going on, Purple Nation? Welcome to the Minnesota Vikings podcast presented by Pepsi. It is week two of the free agency frenzy, and Kwesi and his staff have been willing and dealing, adding depth to the already talented Vikings roster. This week, Vikings Radio Network analyst Pete Bursich joins the show to give his thoughts on the current state of the team as we quickly approach the start of the NFL draft. We dive into a plethora of topics, so sit back and enjoy this week's show. Welcome to the Minnesota Vikings podcast presented by Pepsi. I'm Gabe Henderson. I'm alongside Vikings.com's Tatum Everett, our producer Eric Davidson, and I don't know if we want to call this guy our special guest, but he just so happens to be in the radio room with us.
Is that because he's not special?
He's not special. He just so happens to be the radio analyst.
Ever since I was Pete Bursich. Ever since I was a kid, people are like, yeah, that guy's a little, special. I thought it was a good thing, and then one day... Once I started dating, right?
Oh, yeah.
The girls are like, yeah, well, no, we don't deal with special people. What does that mean?
I don't know. We knew you had a future. We just didn't know how bright it was. Here we are.
When you're growing up and your best friends are always teachers,
yeah,
right? Something's wrong. Well, something's wrong.
Well, you're smart enough to understand that education is key.
Well,
Pete's living his life now that it's the off season.
And I was ugly, too, because when I was little, to play with the dog. Every time I'd go play with the dog, my mom would tie a pork chop around my neck just to get the dog to play with me. Right? And I thought that was a normal thing that people did, right? apparently it's not.
Hey, right? Welcome to the Minnesota Vikings podcast.
Can't say the same. I didn't have that problem.
No, of course you did.
Hey, well, look, there has been some quality depth that the Vikings have added. They've added some beef on the interior offensive and defensive line. Dan Feeney, Jonah Williams, both the newest acquisitions for this Minnesota Vikings team via free agency. And Pete, when you look at both of those guys, Dan Feeney, who was with the Chicago Bears last year, played center, can play both guard positions. Then Jonah Williams, who was a defensive lineman for the Rams. I believe he was with Kevin O'Connell for a few years. In my opinion, I believe that's the Dean Lowry replacement, just knowing that Dean Lowry is not on our roster anymore. The Vikings decided to release him early on in free agency. When you look at those two guys and you look at our 2024 free agency class of nine players, how do those two guys fit into what Kwesi and our front office is trying to do?
Yeah, I think the depth at the interior defensive line is absolutely something that that we needed. I mean, we had Sheldon Day come in and give us some good, really good snaps actually for a couple weeks when we played the Raiders and everything. So, yeah, you need bodies. You can't have too many good defensive linemen, especially the interior. And offensively, we've had injuries. So you bring in experienced guys, and I think that's the good thing. So when you get to the draft, if you pick a guy early at a certain position, then the guys that you sign could move over to the guard. Feeney could play guard. So if you draft a center, move him to guard. If you draft a guard, you can keep him at center. And I hate to say the word expendable, but it gives you a lot of flexibility and depth. And that's exactly, you've addressed a lot of the starting positions, but yeah, you have to continue to build. And let's face it, this team, we are where we are mainly because of turnovers and injuries, right? Those are the two things last year that really killed us. And so to combat that, the injury side of things, you got to build up.
It's really exciting to see that there are some big boys coming here, I guess you could say, like guys that are going to add so much depth and presence and experience on the line. I think that's something when I'm on Twitter or asking for pick six questions, a lot of people are very much like, where's the depth? We need more presence on the line. And it's good to see this happening.
I think Kwesi might like him by the pound, right? It's like, that might be a chart that he has. It's just dollars per pound. How much does this guy cost on a per pound basis? And okay, I think both these guys are probably good values in his eyes, and brought him in.
I mean, speaking of value, everyone has been saying that the Vikings have, you know, made some value picks. Aaron Jones, Jonathan Grenard, just all these value guys that have been gone early on in free agency. How would you sum up the Vikings offseason thus far when it comes to gaining some of those valuable free agent signings?
All right. Well, you start with Aaron Jones, and we've seen him, you know, we've seen him for years now. We're very familiar with his game and how good of a cutback runner he is, and the style that with which Green Bay used him. That's going to be the question: is are we going to tweak our running game? You bring up areas of improvement. Well, short yardage running game and obviously the deep red zone running game are two areas that have been kind of a thorn in our side. You think about the Cincinnati game with two shots to get 1 yard. You can't get him. Our red zone and you know, our starting running back going into the season didn't have a rushing touchdown. Yeah, those things have to be fixed. You have to fix those things. So Aaron Jones, I think, is part of that. The question is going to be, how much are we going to tweak what we do from a schematic running game standpoint to match his skill set? We'll see. I think Ty Chandler ran a lot, you know, when he was in North Carolina, ran a lot of the counters and let, kind of the plays develop. So we might see more of that in our running game. That might be a tweak, and it's something I'm very interested to see what happens. You know, defensively, you look at Grenard, it was kind of a trade, right? You have two guys that, from a production standpoint, getting after the quarterback, numbers-wise, about the same. Grenard's just 26, right? He's a lot younger, and I think he's a little different. He's more, I think he's has the power, but he's speed. He's so fast, so quick. So him and Van Ginkel are now going to be our outside linebackers, and I think they're going to be much more versatile players. You didn't see DJ Wonnum and Daniil Hunter in coverage much at all. Sometimes they would drop them out and they would just kind of cover the ground. They're defensive ends. They don't cover a lot. Well, these guys have that ability. So that's going to give Flores a lot more, I think, flexibility. Cashman is a lot like Ivan Pace in the fact that he operates very well in the box. He's a very good blitzer. You can use him in a lot of different ways. We saw in film he knows how to run some stunts, the ETs and things like that. He can do all those things. So versatility with all three of those guys that have been added are huge. And in a system like with Flores, I mean, that's exactly what you want to have. And these guys definitely have it. So we've gotten a little smaller, though, on the outside linebacker position, a little less physical because they're smaller. So I think that means these interior tackles that we're going to get or we need to get are going to be even more and more important.
When you look at their style of play, does that fit a Flores? I mean, they talked about seeing the speed and all that stuff. Is there a player that you think might be the standout?
I think the guy that might surprise us is Cashman. Right. I think he started as a special teams guy last year, had a good year with the Texans. And I think his skill set is a Josh Metellus. Like, you know, when I say that, I mean, he can do a lot of different things. And there aren't a lot of, you know, Jordan Hicks did a good job. I still think about that blitz, the big play. I think it was in overtime against Cincinnati, where Hicks blitzed and he was a fraction of a second away from hitting the quarterback.
Yeah.
And it would have been a fumble. Yeah. And we would have had, you know, got the ball back and all that. Cashman, I think, can make all those kinds of plays. Can cover man to man. He has that athleticism. So, man, it's such a good fit. Mm-hmm. And I think he's going to make a lot of big key plays. I think, you know, that Flores is going to put him in those spots. So we expect Grenard to get 12 to 16 sacks,
sure,
right? Van Ginkel, the thing about Van Ginkel that's very interesting is I think he scored like three touchdowns.
Yeah, he had a pick six, a fumble recovery.
And a punt, it was a punt block recovery.
Yeah.
The guy scored a lot of touchdowns,
yeah,
which is just crazy.
That'd be awesome.
You know, and so he has a nose for the football. And all of these guys are very, very dynamic. And I think the versatility side of it, mm-hmm, is what Flores loves. You saw the other thing that's important too is you saw the three of them at the press conference sitting next to each other, and obviously Cashman and Grenard know each other. And then Van Ginkle's in there with the long hair, you know, looking like Thor or whatever.
And he's kind of mild mannered. He's very like kind of soft spoken in a way.
Which is scary.
Go up to him and kick him in the shin and see how soft spoken.
Yeah, you know what, Pete? Right. I think I will definitely do that. Great first impression.
But they get along, right? They work together. It's a good core, I think, in that respect as well. The defensive line is a very tough spot because you have a bunch of individuals. These guys are not like linemen. They're not sheep, right? Offensive linemen, when they go to eat, they walk in a single file line, right? They're very together. It's a group thing.
It's a band.
Yeah, it is. And the D linemen are more renegades, but I think this group, these three, can really at least work together to do a lot of different things. And I just want to see that next section of the Flores playbook.
I mean, you look at all three levels of the defense, right? The Vikings addressed the front level with Grenard, Andrew Van Ginkle, and then Jonah Williams. And then you move to the second level, the linebackers. Blake Cashman is the newest name. When you look at the third level, the Vikings brought back your favorite guy, maybe your favorite Viking of all time, correct me if I'm wrong, from your alma mater, Mr. Harrison Smith, who's returning for his 13th season.
No, Dixon Edwards is my favorite. Well, he and Robert Smith are my favorite Vikings of all time.
I mean, I just don't think I've ever seen you smile as hard as you do when you see another person unlike Harrison Smith. Like, when you look at Harrison Smith.
Well, when I see Harry because he could talk motorcycles and stuff, right? That's why. And I've got, I've gotten to know his dad a little bit, and his dad is rebuilding an old FJ40 Toyota. Like, it's from the 70s. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a kindred spirit in that way. He's a Notre Dame guy, mm-hmm. right? So we can commiserate about mm-hmm. our experience at Notre Dame and what it was like to have to go to school there and play football. And he's old, right? I think I'm old. He's old. It's kind of, you kind of have a
old soul.
Kind of mutual. Souls, kind of mutual that way, yeah.
I mean, how does he fit? Like, with him being back for his 13th season, taking a restructured deal, playing under Flores again, there have been reports that have said, one of the main reasons why Harry came back is because Flores is back, and just the chemistry that they had together, he didn't want to do that with anyone else. How does Harry fit with this, I guess, young veteran defense now?
I think he's going to fit just kind of the same way that he's an unselfish player. He knows what's going on back there, and he's able to direct traffic. And to make no mistake about it, with the safety position, Cam Bynum is the guy that is on the cusp of a breakout type of a year. If he intercepts every ball, the balls that hit him in the hands during the season last year, he had two against San Francisco. He had seven other footballs that he could have intercepted. You end that season with 9 or 10 interceptions, mm-hmm. you're going to the Pro Bowl.
All pro.
Cam Bynum is that far away from being a Pro Bowl caliber safety. And early on in the season, his open field tackling was fantastic. So I think for Cam Bynum's sake, having Harrison Smith next to him, the two of them together, it's going to make hopefully him better as well. Mm-hmm. We didn't really see Harry. We saw him in the pass rush game a little bit against Carolina. He had three sacks. I mean, here and there in the blitzing and defending the run. As a deep defender, he had opportunities. But that's Harry's career. If you look at his career, he'd have five interception year, then he'd have none, then he'd have six, and then he'd have none. So hopefully he's back on the 4 or 5 interception type
every even
type
year.
Season.
Yeah.
And, we watched him last year. It's not like he lost a step. It would be nice if someone like Lewis Seen or someone else can take some snaps off of him so he's not a 95% type guy, that he's more of a 70 or 80%. That way those snaps are quality and he's not wearing himself down, but it's a stabilizing presence, no question about it. And he's going to help these young guys or any of the young guys that we draft to, learn their way in the NFL. It's important to have some guys like that around.
Now that you've seen some of the defensive pieces from free agency fall into place, you've seen who has gone to other teams, who we've brought on, where is a position of need that you think the Vikings could find some value in the draft?
Defensively, corner still. I think, Caleb Evans was kind of hot and cold. And I think Mekhi Blackmon did a good job. He just needs to figure out what he's going to do when he's up against a bigger receiver, a taller receiver. We saw that happen a couple times. Byron Murphy, I thought, played very well. For some reason, he just would, when the quarterback would scramble and plays would get extended, he would just lose guys. And if, again, if you go back and look at the big plays that hit us, a lot of them had to do with Mekhi Blackmon,
yep,
Caleb Evans, and Byron Murphy. And now, was that a factor of what we had to do up front that those guys were left on islands? Do we have some more flexibility now to give those guys some help? We will see. But I think a huge thing for this defense is the evolution of Mekhi Blackmon, that he is able to figure out the physicality side too with all the quick whip screens and the things that we're getting on the outside. He's going to have to be physical, so he's going to have to be stronger and then come up with a plan for when he's facing a receiver that might be 6 inches taller than him. What is he going to do? Caleb Evans, a lot of it's just, I think, awareness with him. He's definitely physical enough. You know, he catches that interception. I can't remember which game it was.
That was the Chargers.
Yeah, the Chargers.
We win that game.
It's a completely different game. So, again, you sit here at 7-10, you're like, my goodness, you're just a couple of plays away from being, 9-8
mm-hmm.
or 10-7, right? Having it flipped completely around. So that's those little incremental gains are necessary, I think, with that group. And I think that they're going to want to bring some more bodies into that room. No question about it, because we need depth. You need depth in that room as well. And we're just talking about the three starters.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at just the evolution of Mekhi Blackmon from week one last year until week 17 or week 18, and just thinking about what that means for this team. To your point, if Mekhi can take that extra step, that next step in his career, I think our entire defense is a better bunch.
It doesn't take that much.
No,
right? A couple of pass breakups, and we saw him again be exactly – that's the thing. He's exactly in the right spot,
mm-hmm.
right where he needs to be, where make the ball play. Is thrown, where the receiver – you just have to make the play.
Make a play.
So that's a huge part of Mekhi. Get him in a weight room, get him stronger so he can hit and his body can take the physicality, because they're gonna challenge him.
Yep.
You line up and see a Caleb Evans out there, and you line up and Mekhi Blackman's over there. I'm throwing it on the whip screen. I'm throwing it over there, the little guy. All right? It's just you put the big receiver.
Right.
That's just the way the game is. So we'll see. You know, we'll see. Again, Byron Murphy, you just got to learn that when that clock goes off in your head and the ball hasn't been thrown, that mm-hmm. the quarterback's probably still running around. So you better go turn the zone into man.
Find
and
somebody.
Just stay on that guy, even if the quarterback's way on the other side of the field, because they can stop and throw it all the way back. Oh, God, the nightmares.
I can feel your pain right now. And
it's only, Gabe, painful because you do everything else to get yourself in a position to win the game, and something like that costs you.
Situations.
That's the part of it that's painful.
I'm just thinking about the painful part of this podcast is every time we record.
Is me, right?
No, this is radio.
You need a pork chop?
We don't need a pork chop today, right. And we don't need video. That's why we got you today. This is all audio, all radio. The painful part of our podcast is every time we record each week, there's always some kind of news that happens the day afterwards. Last week, we recorded Thursday thinking we had everything set in place, no news the weekend. We got a couple of Slack updates basically saying, hey, guys, have a good weekend. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't expect any updates this week. Friday rolls around. The Vikings just so happened to trade with the Houston Texans.
Yeah, how about that?
To get another first-round pick in this upcoming year's draft. So the details is the Minnesota Vikings sent their second-rounder and their sixth-rounder this year, along with a second-rounder next year in 2025, to the Houston Texans in exchange for a first-rounder, which is the 23rd overall pick, and a seventh-rounder in this year's draft. So right now the Vikings still have 9 picks. They have 2 firsts. 2 fourths, so no second, no third.
Yeah.
2 fifths, a sixth, and 2 sevenths.
Yeah. Not having a second or third in a draft like this is, you know, that one, this is it's a deep draft, especially at the quarterback position. I think it's very unique, you know, being at the combine. You think about 1983, right, with Dan Marino. Who else came out that year? It was a guy from Buffalo and Elway.
Let me pull this up.
Elway.
For you.
It was, my God, I can see his face. I just can't remember his name off the top of my head.
So it was John Elway, Jim Kelly, Tony Eason, Dan Marino, Todd Blackledge.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not familiar with that one.
Isn't he a commentator now?
Todd Blackledge?
Could be.
Maybe.
Anyway,
I think he's an SEC.
You have, because of the COVID and because of that kind of a hiccup, it gave some guys extra time to stick around, like, you know, Michael Penix, who, by the way, I think is only 3 years younger than Darnold.
Right,
you know what I mean? He's only like 3 years younger than Darnold, which is crazy. So if there was a year to trade up or to do something like that to get the guy that you want, and that's kind of the other problem or the other challenge that you have, is of these six guys, Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, Michael Penix, J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix, which one of those three would you take in the top five or six, wherever, you know, wherever that's going to – how that's going to fall. So that's the part that you have to play out. But if there was a time in this franchise's history where I feel we can draft that quarterback, it's now.
Yeah.
Right, it's now. We don't have a defensive minded head coach. We don't have a defensive more minded type of a GM. We have a former NFL quarterback who was a position coach, coordinator, head coach now, who knows the offense. He knows what he needs at that position, I guess my thing is I have faith the fact that he's going to be able to identify the guy that he needs and that he wants for this offense, to execute this offense. So for this franchise, you know, 7-10, drafting 11, the ability to get to a spot. So you have two things kind of colliding here, right? I mean, you think about if you don't draft the quarterback of the future this draft, how's that going to look next year? Right. Unless, of course, you're saying, well, we got 120 some million under the cap. We could just go buy somebody. Well, then you're right back where you were with Cousins. Right. Do you want to be? And so this is the year. I think in that respect, this is the year for that. And you know, if we trade up, we get one first round draft pick, then we're done till the fourth round. I mean, that could be an interesting day or a couple days, I guess, to sit around. And there's a lot of talent out there. And because of all these quarterbacks, a lot of offensive tackles. You might get at 11. You can get the pick of the litter of maybe the defensive prospects. We're not even talking about cornerbacks. And so, because of COVID, there's a lot of depth. I think a little bit more depth in this draft. And so, it's not a bad one to have a bunch of second round and third round picks.
Yeah,
there's gonna be a lot of good players out there.
What do you think the drop off is like between, you know, the three or four top QBs, as you know, because you can look at Caleb, Drake, Jaden, and then there's Penix, McCarthy, Bo Nix. Like, where's the drop off?
I haven't watched.
And drop off, I don't mean negatively. I just mean the differences, because they're all good.
Caleb Williams, the people I've spoken with that I respect, they say, he's an Andrew Luck type of a talent. He's that good. So. In that respect, he's unique, right? I mean, a lot of people look back at 2021 and what happened to that draft class, and how it's kind of
Trevor Lawrence is last man standing.
And you know, I think even in that draft class, you'd have to go back a long way to find a draft class where Caleb Williams would not go number one. Let's just put it that way, right? Drake May would be, I think, a number one overall without Caleb Williams this year, and probably for the last couple of years. Then it's kind of like, okay, Jaden Daniels, you know, he had a lot of really good talent around him. So you have to sit there and think, is how much of it was him? How much was it the people around him? But I think he's also another guy that can be just fantastic if he gets in the right spot. And then you have J.J. McCarthy, who, you know, when you go to the old Belichick bit where, you know, you're like, well, talent. You know, it's talent sets the floor, but it's character that sets the ceiling. I think McCarthy's that kind of guy where he's an unselfish player as a college quarterback.
He had to be, though, right?
And you know, I had a conversation with Robert Smith on the radio last week, and we were talking about CJ Stroud and Justin Fields, and Robert knows those two. He does Fox TV and, you know, went to Ohio State. So, of course, he's got to keep track of the Ohio State University quarterbacks because of the litany of just unbelievably good Ohio State quarterbacks that have come into the NFL. Still waiting on that list. Sorry, Gabe. But he was talking about the difference between Justin Fields and C.J. Stroud and how C.J. Stroud loves to watch film. He loves football. He loves to try to figure out what defenses are trying to do. And Justin Fields is more, hey, just let me know what my receivers are doing and what I need to do.
Yeah.
That's the difference. Mm-hmm. These guys at this level, they're all uber talented. Right? That's why you know when Darnold comes in and we see Sam Darnold, we know he's tall enough, fast enough, and has the you know he has the measurables because he was drafted so highly.
Yeah.
That he's not a fifth round pick with a soft arm. He's a top NFL draft choice, so he's gonna have all those things. Same thing with CJ Stroud, same thing with Justin Fields. But I think what we've seen is that it's the other – there's so much more to it, right? There's just the mental side.
90% mental.
And it's not just that. If I've learned anything from watching the series, the quarterback series, right, those guys are speaking a completely different language.
Yeah.
And I'm almost to the point where you watch these guys and the work they do, you're like – you're handcuffing their athleticism and what they can do with all the verbiage. Right, the West Coast offense has gone nutty with formation, initial formation, shift, motion. Then you have the protection. Then you have the routes, and it's like it's a different language that these guys have to learn,
yeah.
And then go operate. It's not an easy thing to do, and it has nothing to do with how fast you can run or how high you can jump.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you have to have that little extra
it factor,
the je ne sais quoi, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, apparently Stroud has it. Which one of these guys has it? With the lack of film on McCarthy, I think he's got that part of it. So those four, you know, Michael Penix has he's the injuries are one thing, and you know, he has a couple holes in his game, and then Bo Nix, and he's a system guy, but he's accurate and on time, but doesn't have the arm strength. And then you start getting into – but if you draft either one of those guys at 11, you're thinking, oh, okay, we got 11, and then we got 22 later on down the rim. Why not?
I think it provides flexibility, and that's something that Kwesi said in this interview with, you know,
Paul
Allen. So I'm excited to see what the Vikings decide to do with that. But you did bring up Netflix and the quarterback docuseries that featured Kirk Cousins, Marcus Mariota, and Pat Mahomes last year. Well, Netflix is at it again. They announced the release of Receiver.
Right.
A new docuseries that looks at an entire NFL season through the eyes of pass catchers. Our guy, Justin Jefferson, was one of five players that were followed in 2023. So I'm excited.
That one?
Yeah, I mean, to miss seven games and get 1,000 yards receiving. But like,
well, I'm just saying wide receivers as a group aren't church mice like quarterback. Right. So it's like you wonder how far do they really take this thing? Do they take them in their cars and their limos and out on a
Love that they're going flashy.
Yeah, red carpet.
Yeah, that's
And are you gonna walk away with the same kind of appreciation you have for the quarterback position that you have for the receiver position?
I mean, from Netflix, I've been watching Sunderland Till I Die. And I find that kind of compelling in a number of different ways. And that's, you know, that's tier three. It's a third tier league, but the Champions League, I think they call it in soccer in Northeast London. If Netflix can make that interesting, if Netflix can make that interesting, you take five or six wide receivers. Oh, come on.
I mean,
It's going to be crazy.
George Kittle, Deebo Samuel, Devontae Adams, Justin Jefferson, and George Pickens? Mm-hmm. Okay, and I know Amon-Ra St. Brown is a part of
that. Amon-Ra St. Brown,
yeah.
Pickens, Adams, yeah. And Deebo. It's a lot.
They got to do a family dinner with Amon-Ra St. Brown with his brother and his dad. You know,
I bet that would just be epic.
Eating healthy, lifting weights.
I mean, fights, and it's like the old school. It'd be awesome. Who knows? I mean, that's going to be interesting. That is really, oh my God. I would just love to see the footage that they had to put on the cutting room floor.
I mean, Justin Jefferson said he's been keeping a secret from us all, and this is what it was. This new docuseries.
You know what? You're pissed. I know you're pissed because you if you would have known, you would have been walking with him into the stadium, hanging around, right? You would have been.
I'd have probably brought my cleats on game.
It would have been. What's up? What's up? So hey, now it was, you know, you would have been standing by his locker.
Who says I'm not in it, though?
Here's the thing, though. I think here's what we got to find out.
Okay.
All right, you got to go talk to Jay, you know, the big guy that yeah. sees people every once in a while and gets sick every time he does, right? We got to talk to Jay.
Jay Nelson.
If you need any Pac-10 or any just obscure football trivia, Jay's the guy. He's the man. Also, he's an anime guy too, isn't he?
I'm not sure.
It's bizarre. Think so.
Anyway,
Jay, Big Jay, he's one of those guys that knows a little about a lot.
I don't think Jay's an anime guy.
Love Big Jay. I don't even know where I was. Oh, you got to find out what camera, what specific exact camera Netflix uses.
Okay.
And then whenever you're going about out and about and you see that camera, you know it's a Netflix camera. And then you just follow it around. And you
just break the fourth wall every time.
Well,
just go and stare at it.
That's what you have to come down, because they won't be wearing anything, obviously.
Right.
They blend in. Most of us, you didn't know that the quarterback thing was being taped?
I did.
Oh, I'll listen to you.
But I did not know about the receiver one. I will say that.
That's what I'm saying, man. Yeah. You gotta find out what camera they have. And then when you see that camera, get in front of it. And we'll get you on Netflix.
Mm. Can you be beside me at least?
It's funny. Yeah, you talk to people like you two, and you guys are on TV all the time, right? Fox, you're on.
What's up, Sam?
With
time.
You, beside you. Time out. You guys are on all this stuff, and you get 30 seconds or 10 seconds on Netflix, and you'll get people calling it mm-hmm. right? I mean, on the quarterback thing, I had maybe
are you saying
two
people
or three
don't
seconds
watch what
of,
we do?
No, I'm just saying that. People see you on Netflix, it's like it used to be 30 years ago when you were on TV,
mm-hmm.
right? Back in the day when you were on TV, that's unbelievable. Yeah. Now it's like, you're on TV, big deal. If you make it to Netflix, Gabe, you two guys get yourselves on Netflix, man, your phone will be ringing off the hook. You'll have agents.
Really missed our calling. I mean, unfortunately, we're married, but we could have been on Love is Blind, and our profiles would have just rose.
Yeah,
I'm not familiar with that show.
It's a really good one. If you like Sunderland, I think you'd like Love is Blind.
I got stuck into watching it. But I really got to watch that show.
I've spent most of my life dating women that are blind. It's helped.
Well, now the podcast has come full circle.
It's helped me.
Well, look, Pete, we loved having you on today.
So Love is Blind.
Subjective.
When you get out of bed and look like me, love has to be blind.
Look, it's all subjective, right? You know, everyone has a way to feel about the way they feel. But
off seasons, it's fun. Right?
That's the point of this.
The off season, that's the point. Relax. You have to enjoy it because the season's too much of a meat grinder.
Yeah, we're going to talk about how we miss football season the next few weeks, and then it'll feel like next week that week one will be here. We're going to be like, where did the off season go?
So we're going to get you two on Netflix. Your phone's going to blow up. You guys will be out of here. You'll be in L.A. somewhere.
Nah.
Yeah.
I like the little bit of anonymity. It's nice.
You can be humble all you want.
No,
I'm
I
just
do.
Saying we got to get you guys
really
on
do.
Netflix.
Yeah, I do. I like to go to the grocery store and nobody sees, no one knows.
This was a great show. And I'm
thanks to Eric.
Yeah. Eric makes us
thanks,
look,
Eric.
Sound, and he is the brains and operations behind this entire podcast, and we're very thankful for him. But we're also thankful for you joining our show today, Pete. A lot of things on tap on Vikings.com, so Vikings fans, make sure you stay tuned to that because we will be active, just as active as Kwesi was during the first week of free agency.
Think about this. Think about the roster change since he's been here.
It's a brand new team.
It's a brand new team. So, yes. And you've got $125 million in the bank for next year at least, right? You gave GMs $30 million extra this year, and they went absolutely nutty.
Yep.
We have not seen a free agency like this in a long time. Combine that with the draft that's been – this has been a brutally interesting offseason, right?
Thanks
so much. Very much so. If you follow it from any perspective as
fantastic.
A fantasy perspective
– the whole thing's been – it's been absolutely fantastic. It's been fun.
It has been fun.
So this was fun. Appreciate you, Pete.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you soon. You've made this a lot of fun.
No, it's fine. This is good.
Well, with that said, I'm going to close this out. For Tatum Everett, our producer, Eric Davidson. And
who's just giggling over there.
Yeah, who's just
Eric.
beside himself.
Makes our job
the
best.
The former insurance salesman / IT director /
do it all.
Worked for the CIA, too, for a stint.
My name is Gabe Henderson. Thank you guys for tuning in to another edition of the Minnesota Vikings podcast with Pete Bursich. 87% of our food comes from rural America. Farmers are incredible, agriculture is incredible, and rural is incredible. Lando Lakes is a farmer-owned cooperative and proud official sponsor of the Minnesota Vikings.
Say hello to flawlessly smooth skin at Pure Lux Med Spa, the preferred med spa of the Minnesota Vikings cheerleaders. Specializing in elite laser hair removal, body contouring, Botox, cosmetic filter, and age-defying skincare treatments such as Diamond Glow and Skin Pen for collagen induction therapy. For more information, visit MyPureLux.com/Vikings for exclusive offers to Vikings fans. That's www.MyPureLux.com/Vikings.